Good morning. How's everyone today? Well, it's a privilege to be able to come and share with you today. Let's get myself organised here. Well, let's pray before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you that we can look at it together, and I ask that you'll speak to each of us. Help us to have ears that are listening and hearts that are willing to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, at the front of our church, we have a sign, and that's what it looks like. And on the sign, you'll notice there's the logo, there's the name of the church, we've got the ministry team members on there, about the service times, the contact details there, and the office hours. So it's a good sign out the front there. And on the other side of the sign are the words, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." Now, most churches appear to have signs displaying similar information to ours out the front of their church. But sometimes they have different signs, and on their signs, they can have sayings. So instead of driving around Bendigo to see what signs are out the front of churches and what sayings they have, I'll admit I was lazy. I did a Google search, so I looked on the internet and found a few signs that some of the churches have out the signs that churches have out the front of them. So the first one I found, it says, "Our church is like fudge, sweet with a few nuts." So as you can see, some sayings are funny. Another one is, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it." That's nice, isn't it? And other sayings can be a bit more thought-provoking and make you think. God loves you, whether you like it or not. And Easter comes once a year. How often do you? Now, I'm not saying that we need to put a sign up at the front of HT here. That's the last thing I'm saying. But the reason why I'm started off by talking about signs and these sayings is because if we look at today's passage from Luke, I think we could turn some of these comments that Jesus made into sayings for church signs. For example, "Do not be afraid. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes in near and no moth destroys. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, these sayings that Jesus said here, they're quite thought-provoking. And the more that I've read today's passage, and in preparation for today, the more I've come to realise that if I was to do this passage justice, I'd need a lot more time than what we really have. But because we've got another service starting soon, I'm just going to focus on one area. And that's the first part of this passage. But I don't want us to miss out what Jesus is saying in the second part of our reading either, in verses 35 to 40, as Jesus is talking about being ready. So my question that I want to leave ringing in all your ears right from the start is, are you ready for Jesus' return? So this morning, as I said, I'm going to focus on the first part of this passage. And in particular, I'm going to start with verse 32, where Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Now, in this verse, Jesus is addressing the disciples, and he refers to them as little flock. And as we look at Jesus' teaching on numerous occasions, we can see that Jesus used the image of a shepherd and sheep. God, he's referred to as the great shepherd. And we, who are the believers, we are the sheep. And what does the shepherd do with his sheep? A shepherd looks after and protects them. And Psalm 23, it's a well-known psalm, and I'm sure that most of you are familiar with it. That's because Psalm 23, it's a great illustration of how God loves us, how God cares for us, and how we are constantly under his care and protection. So here in verse 32, when Jesus addresses his disciples by saying, "Do not be afraid, little flock," we can see that Jesus is caring and looking after his disciples, who are his sheep. Now the disciples, they'd given up everything to follow Jesus. They'd given up their possessions, their professions, their families. And the disciples, you know, they were human just like us. I'm sure that they would have had questions and concerns and worries, just like we do. And some of the questions and the concerns they might have had, they could have related to where would their next meal come from? Where would they sleep that night? How'd they get by? Would they face persecution because they were Jesus' followers? And I can understand why these kind of questions would cause them to become worried and concerned. Now, we don't know exactly what they were worried and concerned about, but obviously they were worried and concerned about something. As Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not be afraid." The disciples, they'd been with Jesus. They'd witnessed some pretty amazing things. Yet they still had to contend with the same emotions that we face. Emotions such as being worried and afraid. And I'm sure that if I was to go around the room this morning and ask each of us, what is it that you're worried or afraid about? I'm sure that we would get different responses. Some of you might be worried about how you'll pay for the next gas or electricity bill. After all, we've had some cold mornings like today, haven't we? Others could be worried about how you're going to pay for the insurance, whether it's house insurance, car registration, how you'll pay for the next food bill. You could be worried about your health. After all, none of us are getting any younger. Some of you might be worried about, will your superannuation and retirement savings keep you going? There could be others who are worried because we don't have a new rector yet. There are many things that can cause us to worry and be concerned. So my question for each of us today, and no, you don't have to answer this question out loud, is what is it that you are afraid of? What is it that causes you to worry and lose sleep at night time? At various stages in our lives, we can have things that cause us to worry. But just like the disciples, we can also trust in God totally. And as I was thinking about today, I was thinking about times in my own life where I've worried and where I've also trusted God. And two examples of where I've trusted God came to mind. Now, for those of you who don't know, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and that causes me to get tired and be in a lot of pain. And as a result, that causes me to worry. How will I get through the day? How will I get through youth group? How will I get through the different things that I have on? But it's amazing how many times, as I've prayed and asked God to help me, He gives me the strength and energy to continue. The second example that comes to mind was when I was lying on the operating table waiting to have a lung biopsy to see what was going on with my lungs. I had nodules on my lungs, and that's not a good thing. And it was causing a lot of pain every time I breathed. And to be honest, I was petrified. Like, what would the surgeon find? The surgeon had mentioned the cancer word, and that was freaking me out, to be honest. But while I was lying there, lying on the trolley, I was able to pray and hand the situation over to God. And the words that kept going through my mind were the words to the song, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live." And as I lay there, God filled me with His presence. He gave me His peace. Yes, I was still nervous, but nothing like what I had been beforehand. And it was amazing how God helped me through that situation as I surrendered my worries and concerns over to God. Now, being worried and concerned is something that we all do. But it's what we do with those worries and concerns that is important. Do we hang on to them, or do we give them back to God? Now, I've come across this great little acronym for the word Bible. It stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And as we think about our worries and concerns and what our Bible has to say, we see that our Bible contains some basic instructions on what we should do while we're here on earth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for God cares for you." God wants us to tell him about our concerns and worries because he cares for us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Here Paul is reminding us to turn our worries into prayers. So if you find yourself worrying, stop and pray about it. Tell God about it. And while I was preparing for this morning, I came across this great sign which says, "Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things that he can change." At the start in verse 32, Jesus was instructing his disciples not to be afraid. And the theme in the following few verses is about trusting God. Because as we hand our worries and concerns over to God, we also show God that we trust him, knowing that God will look after our worries and concerns in the best way possible. And to trust God means that we have faith in God. And faith and trust, they're two words that are very closely linked. And there's a lot more to faith and trust than just positive thinking. Positive thinking doesn't produce faith. And the best way to develop your faith in God is by trusting God. And trusting God happens when you have a relationship with him. So how do we increase our faith and trust in God? Well, before I answer that question, I'd like you to think of your best friend for a moment. What makes them your best friend? Hopefully one of the reasons why they're your best friend is because you trust them. And how did you learn to trust them? I'm guessing it was by spending time with them and getting to know them. And it's the same with God. As we spend time with God, we get to know him and we're able to trust him. And as we trust God, it means we're able to trust God to provide for our needs, provide for our worries and our concerns in the best way possible. Sometimes this can be in ways that we least expect. Yet other times, it can be in the ways that we do expect. And earlier we heard from Hebrews chapter 11. And some people refer to Hebrews 11 as the Faith Hall of Fame. And that's because Hebrews 11 points to a wonderful picture of men and women who triumphed by faith. These people, they believed in God. They pursued God's promises, even though many of these people didn't see God's promises come to pass in their lifetime. And we take Abraham, for example. At God's command, he left home and went to another land. He obeyed without question. He believed the covenant that God made with him. And out of obedience to God, he was even willing to sacrifice his own son Isaac. And as we look at the people who are mentioned in Hebrews 11, we're reminded that we're to put our faith in God. And when we trust God totally, the worries and concerns that we have will fade away. That doesn't mean that life will be easy for us. I know that in my own life, with having rheumatoid arthritis, can make things quite difficult. But I also know that I can trust God to be with me in every situation, and that I can talk to God about whatever it is that I'm worried or concerned about. So the next time you drive past a church and you see a sign out the front and it has a saying on it, will you read it? Will you think about what it says? Or will you ignore it? And the same questions can be asked regarding what we've heard this morning. Will you think about what you've heard this morning? If there are worries and concerns that you have, will you hand them over to God? We are God's sheep. He is our shepherd. He cares for you and he provides for you. And you are important to God. And as we place our faith in God and trust him, God is able to take our worries and concerns and deal with them in the best way possible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and you care for us. Thank you that you listen to us when we talk to you. Help us to trust you totally, knowing that you are all powerful and can help us in our time of need. Help us to be like Abraham and the other heroes that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. Help us to be men and women who live by faith, trusting you in all circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to continue in a time of prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can talk to you and listen to you. And I thank you that we can come before you now, knowing that you hear us when we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the parish consultation that occurred last Sunday. Thank you that we could reflect on Greg's ministry amongst us and the many gifts that you have blessed him with. And thank you that we could spend time praying together about our new rector. And we continue to ask that you would guide the nominators and Bishop Matt as they meet to discuss and pray about a new rector. Unite the nominators and Bishop Matt together, and we pray that you would lead them to the person that you want to lead our parish, so that we can be a church that is a light and a blessing to the community. And Lord, we ask that during this season of change, that you would help us to encourage and serve each other. Help us to be on the lookout for each other so that if someone is sick or missing, we can make sure they are going okay. And we thank you for those who faithfully help out around our parish. And this morning I'd like to thank you, Lord, for our 8 o'clock and 9:15 parishioners. Thank you for their involvement in our parish, for their wisdom and their life experiences. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless them, encourage them, and work in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Australia, where we're able to come to church and worship you. Help us not to take this freedom for granted. And we ask that you would help us to be your voice so that we can boldly and wisely share our faith with those that we interact with. Be the believers who live in countries where they face persecution because they believe in you. Help them to be able to find peace and comfort in the situations that they face. And this morning we pray for those who live in Eritrea. We know that Eritrea is an extremely volatile place for Christians as they face persecution, imprisonment and torture. But we thank you that even through these hardships, the church remains faithful, and we pray that through your Holy Spirit, believers will be encouraged in their faith. Help them to have a deep, enduring faith, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for those who have been affected by the mass shooting in Texas earlier this week. We're saddened when we hear of such violence occurring, and we ask that you'll be the families that are grieving. Give them hope and peace during this difficult time. And we pray for Britain, their Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and for those who are involved in the decision-making around the Brexit issue. Please give them wisdom and understanding too. And we also pray for our own Prime Minister Scott Morrison, our State Premier Dan Andrews, and our local member Lisa Chesters. Help them to make wise and godly decisions regarding this great country that we live in. And we thank you for the city of Greater Bendigo and for all its services that are offered to us. Thank you for the public and visible things that our council does to help many people, and we ask. We also thank you for the things that they do that are not seen and noticed as well. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for the rain that has been falling this week. And we continue to ask for more rain to break the drought that many farmers in Australia are enduring. Give the farmers strength and perseverance. And we thank you for the groups and agencies that are assisting our farmers and their families. Be with the churches and their leaders who are in the drought-affected districts. Help them to be a shining light to those around them. And we pray that people will come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. That people will learn to trust you, knowing that you take care of all our needs and worries and concerns. Help us to never forget this, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we bring before you those who are sick, and in the stillness of our hearts, can I encourage you to bring before God those that you know who are sick at this time. Lord, we also pray for Keith Thompson, Erica Muriel Jenke, and Lorenzo, and any others that we know who are sick at this time. Be with their doctors, their nurses, and those who are caring for them, and we ask that you'll give them wisdom and patience so they can care for them in the best way possible. And we also thank you for the life of George Whiting, and we pray that you'll continue to be with his family and friends at this time. Thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of all that's going on around us, we can come before you knowing that you are our strength and refuge. Help us to continually talk to you, to listen to you, and to hand our worries and concerns over to you, remembering all the good things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.